Anybody, anywhere,
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome in to Take Command with Logan Paulson. I'm Grant Paulson. We are getting you closer and closer to the start of training camp at the end of this month out in Ashburn. It is almost time for football. Logan, looks like a different setup for you. Very nice bookshelf. You're like the bookshelf guy on CNN telling us about the pending storm or something. That's a really mature setup you've got.
It is interesting how, like, just having a couple books that you've never read behind you make you look a certain way, give you this certain presentation. Yeah, like, I remember when we were first started doing this show, the producer kept saying, can you have something different than, like, a white wall behind you? And I was like, why? Like, people don't care. Like, they're listening to what I say. But it does kind of give you this, like, aura of, like, man, I read all these cool leather-bound books. And even though I've never read any of these, you know what I'm saying? So.
If you're listening via audio, wherever you get your audio, I guess that doesn't matter. But if you're watching, you can watch us on YouTube, 106.7 The Fan, and Team 980 YouTube channels. So a couple of things. First off, I want you to play doctor because you know a little bit about all this kind of health stuff and you like work out. So I assume you know about this. So here's my question to you. My son last night was playing basketball in our basement.
Okay.
He comes over crying, saying he hurt his finger, okay? He's, like, showing me his finger. He can, like, bend it mostly, but, like, it looks like the tip maybe. He can't really bend down, whatever. So I'm like, okay. Within, I would say, 5 minutes, it was twice the size it's supposed to be.
Oh, okay? Gosh.
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe he broke it, but then it's never been purple, and there's no, like, bending. It's just this huge swollen finger. And I just put a Band-Aid and kind of buddy fingered it together with another one overnight after we put some ice on it. And it's not bothering him that much. Like, he's just like opening doors, whatever. But he's saying, like, when he presses on it or whatever, it hurts. And it's huge. So are you going to say break or what do you think it is?
So first question I always ask is what was mechanism of injury? Because usually that informs kind of what they were doing.
So. I asked that question. I've gotten no good answer. It sounds to me like he was either blocking a shot or like a shot, like a ball was thrown at him and maybe jammed at his finger.
Jammed at his finger. So if he can't bend at the first knuckle there, usually it's like some type of ligament thing, right? Like, and those things tend to resolve themselves really relatively quickly. Like, they'll swell up. It'll be uncomfortable. He can't squeeze his fists. My number one thing is I always worry about breaks with little kids. So I usually do like the tap test. So, like, have him put his fingers straight and just tap the tops of his fingers as you go down. If it is broken, he'll get like a shooting kind of response from it. If it's the ligament, as long as the knuckle isn't bending, it won't hurt the same way because the joint's stacked.
You tap on what? Like a table or a wall or something?
No, just take your finger, if this is his finger, just tap it like that and just go down. And then the other thing you do is you just squeeze like each joint. Just to make sure that it's not broken.
I feel like when he squeezes, it hurts.
Squeezes hurts. But can he make a fist?
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah, so that's another good way to kind of tell. Because, like, kids are funny. It's like, squeeze my finger as hard as you can. And if you can squeeze it as hard as you can, then it's, like, usually fine. Like, that's another one. Like, my son, for example, has broken his arm. And the way I was able to tell was, like, squeeze my finger as hard as you can. You'd go to squeeze it. And he's like super competitive. And I'm like, is that as hard as you can squeeze? And he's like, no. And he'd try really hard, but he's like, my wrist really hurts. So we took him in. And I was like, oh, it's because it's broken. Okay. You know what I mean? So
All right, there you go. There we go. Dr. Logan, I just got my online appointment done. Now we'll, I got to, I guess, go upstairs and further examine it when we're
further
done.
Further tap and squeeze fingers. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're doing. So last pod, if you missed it, we ranked all the position groups in the division 1-4 offensively. If you didn't hear that, we're available wherever you get your podcasts. Go listen to the last episode of Take Command. Today, we're going to focus on the defensive side of things, and we're going to be ranking the four teams in the division in order. So I guess let's just start with the – I mean, do you want to go D-line or, like, I think you almost have to separate edges, right?
Yeah, I think you want to separate – because I was thinking about it as we were doing it. Like, this is maybe the most interesting group in the entire division. Obviously, quarterbacks, receivers is super fun to talk about. But in terms of turnover and just new look position, I think defensive tackle specifically and then edge are ones where it's like, man, maybe the power balance has shifted. So I think we could break this up if you want. and do defensive tackle and then edge afterwards.
Excuse me. So for defensive tackles, the Cowboys obviously made a massive trade blockbuster for Quinnen Williams last year. Kenny Clark came over in the deal that they made when you know they themselves moved on from Micah Parsons. They've got solid depth behind him. The Eagles have Jalen Carter, who can be a world wrecker, and Jordan Davis, who actually maybe outplayed him at times last season and was an absolute monster. By the way, as I kind of think about this, this division is loaded with defensive tackles. The Commanders spent $15 million on Javon Kinlaw. They obviously have Daron Payne, who's basically a $28 million man now, and they just spent good money, $8 million per year, on Tim Settle, so they certainly have not neglected the position either. And then the Giants D tackles quietly, you know, decent, but I would say after moving on from Dexter Lawrence, are going to pull up the rear here. DJ Reader, Darius Alexander, Bobby Jamison, Travis among them. So there's your D tackle rosters. How do you rank them?
Yeah, this was tough for me last night when I was kind of looking it over, because I think Quinnen Williams is a heck of a football player. And I think he was kind of lost there with the New York Jets, and people forget that how good he was and how impactful he was. But when you kind of talk about, you know, I don't think he's there yet, but a potentially blue chip type piece, I think Quinnen Williams falls in that category. And then you put him next to Kenny Clark, and it's like, oh my gosh, this group could be something pretty dynamic. And then before they traded Adigizua, I thought, man, like that's probably the best group in the division. Obviously, it's weakened by Adigizua leaving, because I think that dude can absolutely ball. He's going to the San Francisco 49ers. So I think it really comes down to, like, where is Jalen Carter in terms of health? And then do you think Jordan Davis can repeat what he did last year? Because I think actually, like, Kenny, the combination, like the best version of Kenny Clark and the best version of Kenny Williams, or Quinnen Williams, excuse me, are definitely, I don't want to say toe-to-toe, but definitely giving those guys a run for their money. Because again, Quinnen Williams at his best is a special football player.
He's elite. You know, I think Dexter Lawrence probably might be my favorite in the NFL. Getting him out of the division does completely shift things a little bit. Am I crazy to say I think Jalen Carter is the highest upside D tackle in the division?
I think that's 100% right.
He's right. It's 72 and sunny. His head's squared on correctly. That guy is a world eater. So give me your rankings. Give me your four then.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to go Philly one. I'm going to go Dallas two. I'm going to go Washington three. And then I'm going to finish up with the Giants, just because I love DJ Reader. I think he's a heck of a football player. I think he's on the kind of the downslope of his career. I think Darius Alexander is like a high upside guy from Toledo a couple years ago. We didn't get to see it from him as much last year. And then it's kind of a bunch of guys that are good, kind of like rotational. I'm trying to think of a pitching analogy. Like, they can close out a game if you need it, but you definitely don't want them pitching a lot of innings if you don't have to. So to me, I think you've got difference makers in Philly. You've got difference makers in Dallas. I think you've got some guys who have some upside play here in Washington. And then I think you get down to the Giants is kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, Carter the last two seasons has made Pro Bowls and has finished as a second-team All-Pro already in Philly. And I said, the growth of Jordan Davis has been very noticeable. So I've got them one. I think I'm going to put the Cowboys two, similarly, because of the Quinnen Williams argument that you made. I know last year it was only 2.5 sacks for him, but he really can be a game wrecker. We've seen him be a first-team All-Pro back in 22 with the Jets, and there's nobody with that ceiling in Washington. And then, you know, they've got two really good tackles in Payne and Kinlaw, but I got to see a little bit more to put them in that level. And then the Giants are going to have to be fourth after the move they made.
And I think the one there with Washington that gets me really excited is Tim Settle coming back, right? Because when you look at what he did in Houston, like, he was really dynamic on first and second down. And so now you've got kind of three guys that can kind of rotate in there. You can kind of bounce between even and odd front structures, which again is a huge advantage in terms of putting those guys in positions to be successful. So they could definitely punch above this ranking, obviously, heading into the season because of the scheme they're going to be in. But I do think when you just look at the paper, the talent on paper, like you said, if Jalen Carter has his head screwed on straight and the shoulders are right, him next to Jordan Davis, like, I don't know if there's a better tandem potentially in the league. And then obviously Quinnen Williams, Kenny Clark, like, I think Kenny Clark's on the older side here a little bit. And I think his play is starting to decline ever so slightly, but I think he's still a really good football player. And so like when I look at like, man, like these are tough matchups that need to be considered. I think both those teams present those. And I think Washington could last year, unfortunately, again, the whole defense struggled. They didn't do that.
Yeah. One other thing on the Commanders, just to localize the combo. It's really important that Payne has a bigger year this year if this defense is going to make major strides. And also just because of what they're paying him. You know, they had the opportunity to possibly release him or trade him, and they essentially said, no, we're good, just paying him like he's one of the best defensive players in the NFL. So heavy lies the crown a little bit for me. Like, you need him to ball out. I think about, remember the Titans, Coach Yost talking to Petey. You want to be a star, you better give me a star effort. Like, that's right. I got a little bit of that with Payne. And then similarly with Kinlaw, I understand he is not paid to get to the quarterback. I'm not sitting here pretending like he should have 15 sacks. But he did not have a half sack last season. You know, he had 5 TFLs. He had 3 quarterback hits via Pro Football Reference. I need a few more of those splash impact plays. Early in the year especially, but just overall, he did a really good job with, like, what I consider just, like, stops or, like, run stuffs at the line of scrimmage where, you know, he would, like, take somebody over with his size and just throw a guy on the ground for half a yard or whatever. And there's plenty of that in his bag, and that's great. But I would love a few more disruptive plays in the backfield for a guy. So I'm just sticking with the theme of, like, what I'm paying you.
Yeah. No, I think we see it very similarly. Like, you know, I think Kinlaw specifically last year, he had those splash moments. But I think the moments in between the splashes, I think if that elevates, we're talking about a much different player here in 2026. And then Payne, we've seen him have a very productive year. What was that? That was Ron's, I forget, 2022? Yeah. 2022, where he looked like that dude, right? He got paid very appropriately, I would say. We haven't really seen that version of him since. Like, he's a fine, solid football player. I'm not trying to diminish him and his career and his impact here in Washington at all. But, like, when you're paying a guy that much money, you're expecting that, you know, that double-digit sack kind of production. And I think, again, it's not like he can't do it. We've seen him do it. We've seen Kinlaw be very productive in spurts. We've seen Tim Settle play incredibly consistent run-stopping football. Like, it's there, right? It's just they got to kind of be on the better side of some of these outcomes and some of the statistical variance, I would say. So I totally agree with you. I think, like, there is a good opportunity here for them to be much better. And you got guys like Johnny Newton, Shai Tuttle, who I think are great rotational pieces. And again, Johnny Newton could play better also and be in a different kind of conversation here as well. But I do think there is still, like, this what-if element to their production at the moment.
Yeah, Payne, by the way, that 22 season, that's a year that, from a counting stats standpoint, these guys haven't had mostly. Like, the really good ones we're talking about, like Davis or, you know, any of the other D tackles in the league.
Quinn Williams, never been there. Kenny Clark's been close a couple times. I think he's had 10 sacks one time, but it's rarefied air that he was in for that season. And so, yeah, he is.
Yeah,
like,
and
there is a special
upside.
And
not just the sacks, right? Like, 20 TFLs, and it was over 20 quarterback hits. I mean, that was a really elite counting stats season for him. He's done it. You know it's in there, and you want him to find it again. I will also say this, too, before we get to the edges position, for the Commanders on tackle. Like, I made the case recently that they are loaded with depth at a lot of spots now. And I think people focused on the other point that I was making, which is they're shy on, like, elite all-pro caliber talent, right? Everyone got very upset about that. But the larger point I was making was this team has depth that they haven't had in a while. There's a lot more good players, even if it's harder to find the superstars or whatever. And I think about that at D-tackle. Like, I feel good about Tim Settle, Javon Kinlaw, Daron Payne, Johnny Newton. You mentioned Shai Tuttle, DJ Davidson. If Amena, who's kicked inside occasionally, Wise can play a little bit of that role. I've heard good things about that kid, Jeffrey Umbaugh, the college free agent. Like, Ricky Barber's played in games. There's a lot of NFL-caliber football players. They've just built the room really, really well. All right, let's go to the edge position. So I'll give you the quick rosters, and then you kind of take it where you want from a ranking standpoint. For the Cowboys, they have Rashawn Gary, who they brought over from Green Bay, Donovan Ezeraku, Malachi Lawrence, and others. For the Eagles, they traded for Jonathan Grenard, who I really, really like, Texans, Vikings. Jalix Hunt now ascends as they've lost a couple of pieces. Nolan Smith, former top of the board pick out of the SEC for them, is in that conversation as well. Obviously, the Commanders at the edge position went and spent $100 million to go bring in Adafe Owe. They spent $12 million on a one-year deal for Caleb on Chason. They're going to get Dorrance Armstrong back, who was tearing it up last season as well. And then the Giants might be one of the deepest edge teams in the league. Everyone thought they were going to trade Kayvon Thibodeau after they drafted yet another edge, but it's Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, Abdul Carter, and while he's not listed in edge, they just drafted Arvel Reese, who's going to play that position a bunch too.
Yeah, and so this one to me is, I think, pretty easy. I think when you look at the Giants specifically, like, that is a difference-making position group for them. You know, Brian Burns had like 16 sacks last year. I know the production wasn't there for Abdul Carter, but I went back and watched him get ready for this show, and I was like, this dude is got special all over him. You know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of how he moves, how he bends, how he makes people miss, how he puts the tackle in conflict. Like, he didn't get the sack production, but I think it's there. I think Kayvon Thibodeau has always underachieved there, in my opinion. Again, kind of a power rusher who's never really kind of consistently established that pitch for himself. But I love that you mentioned the kid from Ohio State, because again, like, he's going to be an interesting add here into the defense. But yeah, I think this has to be the number one group, because I think when you look at, I don't know, even Philly, for example, like, I like some of the rushers there. Like you said, I like Jonathan Grenard. I like Jalix Hunt. I like Nolan Smith. I like Arnold Ebiketie. I like AJ Evanesco, right? They've got some guys who played a lot of football, good depth there, but no one's ever had that really standout productive season there. So I think that's a good group. I don't think it's a great group. And I think then I would kind of go probably from, what is that, Giants, Philly. And I think you're in a conversation there with Washington at number three. And the reason I say that is because I look at Adafe Owe, and for as much as I like, what's the guy, Rashawn Gary from Dallas, like, he's never been consistently a very productive rusher. The last two or three years, he's been down in terms of production. Adafe Owe had, you know, 10-plus sacks last year. Armstrong was on pace for 10-plus sacks last year. Kayshon had 10-plus sacks last year. And then, like you said, you've got these other kind of depth pieces thrown in there that can play good, consistent football. So I'd probably put Washington here at three, just because I think the upside of Philly's room is a little bit better. And then I'd probably throw Dallas in next, because, again, Dallas is all upside, right? It's the guy you drafted last year in the first round, or the second round, excuse me, kind of find his feet? In terms of production, Donovan Ezeraku, like, does Malachi Lawrence, who is a traitsy, long, not super productive college player, find his feet as a productive player in the league? So that's kind of how I see the rooms. I'd go Dallas, Philly, Washington, and then finish with the Cowboys.
What would the Commanders have to do to close the gap or climb that list? I mean, they've thrown so many resources at the position this offseason. It's a lot of one-year stuff. Like, I think Armstrong is going to set to be a free agent. Adafe Owe is going to be around, but Caleb on Chason, obviously, one-year deal. Amenahu, one-year deal. How does it have to look for them to at least be two on this list, if not creeping up on the Giants?
I personally think it's right there. You know, I think when you look at, like, just look at the pieces, right? When you look at Philly, just as an example, right, they have what's his name? The guy from Minnesota, Jonathan Grenard, right? Jonathan Grenard's there. I think him and Adafe Owe last year were really similar, and Adafe was more productive, but I think he kind of brings that true one mentality. I think you look at Jalen Scott, I like him as a power rusher with some flexibility in the front. I don't know how different he is than Dorrance Armstrong when healthy, right? I think you look at Nolan Smith, who has a little bit of special to him from a movement quality standpoint, but again, Caleb on Chason was more productive. So I think they're right there, 1A, 1B type of thing. I think the thing that gets me is, like, the Arnold Ebiketie, the AJ Epinesa, just the depth there is really geared towards guys that, like, they've played a lot of football at a high level. And, you know, I love Dedrick Wise, but he's coming off the quad injury. So, like, where is he at in terms of the edge rotation? So I do think there are some more questions just further down, but I think it's almost 1A or 2A, 2B here in terms of this conversation, which is kind of cool to talk about when Philly has been the runaway best edge group in the division for a long time.
Yeah, it's the best edge group the Commanders have had in years. I mean, I don't remember them being this deep or having this many pass rushing options. It's the single biggest reason, other than just a Flores disciple being here, why I'm excited about this defense. I also would remind people that Dorrance Armstrong last year was on pace for 13 sacks
right.
when he got hurt at the midway point of the year. I mean, he really was, at the time of his injury, one of the most successful. I'm not telling you he was the best, but he was one of, from a sheer numbers standpoint, he was one of the top pass rushers in the entire NFL. He seemed to be coming into his own. Now they're changing the scheme. I think it'll help him, but it's going to be a different looking thing than what he was running previously, which is what he's always run. And maybe he's one of the few guys, we've talked about all the guys that'll benefit from this. I think he should, but you know, maybe he's one of the few guys that will have a tougher transition, possibly, because he was brought here to run the thing they had previously been running. All right, that's the defensive line. We'll get to the linebacker level next. We're going position room and group by group in the division and ranking the four teams on Take Command.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back to Take Command with Logan Paulson. I'm Grant Paulson. So we're going through each position group and ranking the four teams in the NFC East to see where the Commanders stack up. So now we go to off-ball linebackers. The Cowboys, D. Winters, Demarion Overshone, who's really good but often hurt, but a talented player. The Eagles have Zach Bond, who came out of absolute nowhere. Like, crazy talk what happened with this guy. Just like obscurity to one of the better linebackers in the league. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. still looming as depth there with Jahad Campbell. Then you've got the Commanders, who have completely reworked the room. I love this linebacking group's athleticism. Chenault in free agency, Frankie Louvu. They draft Sonny Styles. They still have McGee and Medrano for depth. The Giants have Tremaine Edmonds, who they spent huge money on. I think they're listing Arvel Reese initially as an off-ball linebacker, and if that's where they're going to play him a bunch, their linebacker room is pretty stacked because those two guys are incredible. Micah McFadden is among the best of the rest for them. Good linebacking division at this point, I would say.
Yeah, man, it's one of those things where you check it out like the night before the show. You're like, oh, it'll be – you kind of walk in with your preconceived notion about what it is. You're like, dang, like these are some good groups in here.
Well, to your point, I have not given Washington the number one billing at any position yet. And I feel like I'm trying to be as – friendly too. It's not just like straight down the middle. I've given them second in a few things, and I'm like, this is the one. I've been waiting for linebacker where I'm like, they're definitely going to be number one.
Right.
And then you look around and you're like, wait, I thought this was a lock. They're going to have to earn this thing.
Dude, that's exactly how I feel too, because I think people forget, like, Zach Bond, Jahad Campbell are absolute studs. I mean, Jahad Campbell's had the shoulder thing, but Zach Bond is maybe, outside of the kid in San Francisco, the best off-ball linebacker in the league at the moment. Like, that's how well he's been playing the last 2 years.
Fred Warner.
Yeah, Fred Warner, right? And so it's like one of those things where it's like, here's a guy playing defensive end in Houston who comes out and is now one of the best at the position, which is pretty diabolical. Jeremiah Trotter provides great depth there. And even when you look at, Tremaine Edmonds has always kind of underperformed that first round linebacker grade, but he's 6'5". He can run. He's got 33-inch arms. Arvel Reese is an absolute stud. Micah McFadden is kind of one of that, like, maybe not in the top five group, but kind of in that second group of linebackers that just been extremely productive. I think he's coming off an ACL injury, if I'm not mistaken. So where is he at health-wise? But I don't know, man. Like, do you have to give it to Philly to start this thing off? Because Zach Bond's been productive. Jahad Campbell's been productive. Jeremiah Trotter's been productive in the league, like in starting caliber roles. While with Washington, I'm not more excited about any position in the league, but Leo Chenault went from kind of a third rotational player to now playing more. Louvu coming off a down year. You talk about Sonny Styles and what he can be, but he's a rookie. I don't know. It's a tough call here, I think.
Yeah. So what I did for this was, just when we started, I ranked it, and then I went in to kind of make my case, and I like looked up rosters and stuff. And so I wrote Washington down first. I'm like, this is my number one.
Right.
And then what I kind of slept on, I didn't realize how good a player Jahad Campbell's become too.
Right. Like,
he's the linchpin that, so I'm going to put the Eagles one, and it's kind of like earned over the last couple of seasons. Okay. I'm giving them the distinction over the Commanders with the asterisk of like what I think Washington's linebacker group could be in this defense could be number one by year's end. And I wouldn't say that about a lot of position groups. Probably the first time I've said this, but I just think Bond is, I had him top five. You're saying second. Why not?
So would I, however you want to call it. Right. Yeah. I'm with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. But what I didn't really like, Campbell is a dog. And so you look like he was the, I think it was 12th rated linebacker in football out of 90 by PFF last year. Now
he's
that's
a
just
stud, man.
One metric. Right. But if you look at snap count, like he's on the field a ton, tackles and the way they use him and pressure's getting downhill, like he's a really, really good player. So they've done it for Washington. Leo Chanel has not played here yet.
Right.
Sonny Styles has not played here yet. And you just said it. Frankie Louvu was basically not an off-ball linebacker last year and is coming off of kind of a clunker. So I just think I feel with like too much of a homer if I say they're one, but I'll say this. I'm not putting them lower than two because I'm still betting on the upside. Now, you could make the same case with, like, the Giants, where Tremaine Edmonds is way more of a known commodity and a baller, and then Reese kind of cancels out Styles maybe a little bit, although I think naturally at linebacker, even though Reese might be a better defensive prospect because he can do the edge stuff, like, I think Styles is a better linebacker. So I'm going to put Washington 2, and then I probably have the Giants 3. Is that crazy that you have Overshown and Winters last?
No, I think Winters, again, is an Overshown. Like you talked about, like Overshown, the good is good, but he hasn't been healthy, I think, for like three consecutive seasons. Like he's always got some type of injury, nick, and just he's not on the field that much, right? Barham's a rookie. Shamar James was a rookie last year. Lufau was a rookie last. Like they just don't have a lot of experienced players at the position. And I think when you look at the linebacker room, obviously the addition of D. Winters makes it passable. But there was a period of time this offseason where I was like, how are they going to play football, man? You got a lot of people who haven't played linebacker in the NFL that you're counting on to play. So I think that definitively, therefore, I think the conversation between the Giants and the Commanders is super interesting because, again, Tremaine Edmonds hasn't really lived up to that billing. I think he's a good player. Micah McFadden is kind of sneaky good, but I'm kind of betting on what we saw from Frankie Louvu 2 years ago, what he did in Carolina, like that's the player that he is, like this downhill, thumping, disruptive player. Leo Chenal, like watching him in Kansas City, is ready for more responsibility. He's ready to be a bigger part of this defense. And then like maybe this is my bias speaking. Remember in the draft, Sonny Styles was my number two non-quarterback in that thing, right? I love Sonny Styles. So I think he is going – to the moon, 100%, no doubt about it. So to me, it's easy to call them too. I just was surprised, quite honestly, that Philly kind of snuck in there at that one spot.
Yeah, DeMarvion Overshown, by the way, just for a little more intel. So 25 years old, still very young, third round pick just 2 years ago. So been in the league the two seasons, 24. He played 13 games, 5 sacks, 90 tackles. Last year, he only played 6 games, missed 11 games, ended up with 28 tackles in a TFL. So I think with him, it's talent, it's potential, but it's a couple years, one of which was kind of a lost season. So, yeah, I think the Cowboys being last year is perfectly reasonable. I would also just add really quickly that I think, like, this will be the position, if it doesn't end up working out for Washington, where I'm the loudest wrong. Like, right. I just want to put a flag in the ground one more time as, like, this is the spot that I am the most jacked up about. I think they could be – there's going to be a Durante Jones element of this usage scheme, how you move guys around. I'm also banking on like some double mug A gap, like straight out of the Vikings playbook stuff to look sexy. But like when you say like, what's the thing you're most excited about seeing in September? It's this linebacker group. Like that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And I think I'd also kind of throw in like, you know, because they're listed as linebackers, so I don't feel like I'm going crazy here. It's like Kalavon Chasen's in that group, you know, Joshua Joseph's in that group. And talk about dudes, like in addition to these three guys we were just talking about with some extremely high upside possibility in this defense, like I'm ecstatic, right? Like I just want to see them on the grass. I want to see them used in multiple ways. Like I look at what they did in Minnesota, and I look at what that group was, and these guys are significantly better athletes. They're younger. They're more dynamic. They can cover better. And I'm just like, dude, this could be something. This could be. Like, we always talk about ifs, all these kind of things, and how that's not really like good analysis, but I get so juiced up for what this thing could look like come 2026 week one against Philadelphia because of the athletes and because of, quite honestly, the production that these guys have had in their various roles, whether it's in college football or whether it's as a rotational guy. I agree with you, man. This is going to be something that I can't wait to watch.
All right, so let's go to the cornerback position. We're going group by group in the division, seeing how the Commanders stack up and ranking the teams 1-4. Deron Bland at one point in time has led the NFL in interceptions. Revel and Durant are kind of the depth there. Kobe Durant coming over to help add to that secondary. The Eagles, Quinyon Mitchell's become one of the best corners in the league. They drafted him. I think he's a Toledo product. And that dude, he is a shutdown guy. Him and Terry have had some really good battles over the years already. He's turned into one of those players, I think, as a wide receiver, one you get up for. Cooper DeJean's considered an all-pro caliber slot. And then, you know, it's funny, how important is that position to them? It's kind of the opposite of Washington. Washington's like, oh, it's just corner. We've got a scheme for that. The Eagles are like, wait, we've got Quinyon Mitchell and DeJean. Let's go get Reek Woolen as well. And so they've made it a massive priority. They also brought in Jonathan Jones as depth, the former Commander. Keely Ringo is still there. The Commanders, they're going with corner one, Trey Amos, who played last season and got hurt but showed some promise. Mikey Sanra still, is he going to be outside? Is he going to play inside some? We're going to find out. The one major addition they made was Amik Robertson coming over from the Lions. Didn't grade out all that well last year, but an ultra-competitive guy with some inside-outside flex. And then the Giants have Logan Grant, Paulson Adebo, Greg Newsome, and Drew Phillips. They drafted Deontay Banks in the top round, I remember, out of Maryland a few years ago, but he's been a significant disappointment as a depth player for them.
And also Colton Hood there in, with the Giants draft pick. Good guy from Tennessee, a guy I liked a lot coming out.
How early did they pick Colton Hood? Was he mid-round?
I think he was like a second or third round pick, like high third kind of area. So like I think he can play.
I'm going to look up his status, but I mean, he's going to play then a good bit for them, right?
I think so. And whether he's playing nickel or whether he's playing on the perimeter. And again, like I like Drew Phillips there. Like I think he's a good nickel.
He went 37th overall. I thought he was a third round pick. So he was just out of the first round.
I think he's a good player. Anyway, like I had him in my top. I think I was top 40, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, thinking about the grades. So I think he can play, and he's going to play for them. So this one, you know, I was kind of, again, like one of those things where you're like, man, you know, like what's this going to look like talking about corners? I don't think, you know, the Dallas corner group are very strong, maybe Washington. Then you look at Philly, and you're like, man, that's got to be like one of the best rooms in the league, right? You got Quinyon Mitchell, Reek Woolen, and everyone's like, oh, Reek's more of like this type of, he just played in this exact defense last year and looked like a freaking stud. And then again, I think one of the best nickel players in the league is Cooper DeJean. I think he might be moving to safety in this defense. We'll see what happens with that. But I think Philly's definitively won. I mean, I don't think it's even close, to be honest. What do you think, Grant?
Oh, you said it. I think that's the best corner group in the NFL.
Right.
At least in terms of a top three. So it's a non-starter. The question for me, you know, sometimes we'll say, oh, we know who's going 1-2, like the draft starts at 3. I think this conversation starts at 2. And as I'm kind of thinking about this thing, like I came in thinking, well, Washington has to be 4th. There's right. No way they're not dead last. I don't know if I feel that way looking at this. I mean, I think the Cowboys are fine. I think the Giants are fine. I mean, are the Commanders not fine? You know, it depends on Amos, honestly. I keep saying this. I think one of my biggest questions of the offseason, it always sounds like I'm not a Trey Amos guy, which I hate because I think I was one of his biggest supporters in the draft coming out and in training camp. It's like we're just kind of saying his name as if it's set. And we do this sometimes. And this is my fear is like it's a big ask, man. I know the scheme and you're not going to have to cover that long and all the plans, right? But – like, we're just going, oh, they've got Trey Amos, corner one. It's like, corner one is like, I'm babysitting 11 children. We're just like, yeah, we've got Logan Sun at our house. I'm like, he's 11. You know what I mean? Like, so this guy's played 4 minutes of football, got hurt. He looked good. Not spectacular, but good. I liked what I saw. I watched him and went, I am sure he's going to be an awesome NFL player. Like, that's how I felt about Amos last year. But that's a big departure from he's the alpha in the room, basically. Yeah. So that's kind of where
that was like my thought because, you know, I like Deron Bland as much as the next guy, but I don't think he's played as well the last 2 years. Obviously, the injury has kind of slowed him down a little bit. And I think when you look at the Giants, there's no I like Paulson and Debo, but I kind of put them in a similar bucket, maybe Deron Bland slightly ahead. But if you think that Trey Amos is that guy, right, is a true kind of lockdown perimeter player. He doesn't even need to be a top 10 player, but if he's like a top 15, top 20 guy in the league, even if he's top 30 playing corner in the NFL, like I think he's better than both of those guys. The problem is, like you said, he didn't play a full season. It was kind of a mess defensively. And so that seems like a pretty big jump to kind of take a guy who I liked a lot coming out of Ole Miss, who played pretty well when he played, and basically be like, you're one of the kind of the better corners in the division. So that's where I have a hard time with it. And if you feel that way, which there's nothing wrong with that, but if you feel that way, I think you could make an argument that a second best cornerback group in the division, which is crazy to say, because what have we been talking about this whole offseason is just how deficient that group feels on paper to Washington. So, you know, let's just go through it so we can talk. Deron Bland hasn't played as well as he did when he had that crazy year with all those turnovers, right? Siobhan Revelle is coming off of that knee injury recovery from college. Didn't quite look right last year at any point. Kobe Durant is an interesting player, but again, hasn't played a lot of football. Then you go down to the Giants. Paulson Debo is a starting caliber corner in the NFL. Greg Newsome, I think, is kind of on the fringe in terms of that. Drew Phillips is one of the best nickels in the league, I think. Deontay Banks is struggling, and then you maybe have a rookie starting opposite whoever's Paulson Adebo and Colton Hood.
So if you've got Drew Phillips on that level, which I don't think is crazy, by the way, I like Drew Phillips' game a lot. I thought, like, I labeled him as like really high end quality starter, but if you're saying one of the best at his position potentially, then the Giants need to be too, because Paulson Adebo is a physical, legit starter on the outside, and they have two formidable guys. So they're second as we workshop this. And now the debate is Dallas has like a meh room. And Washington that has a much higher upside room, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree.
And so I would put the Cowboys a hair above the Commanders, just if we're doing like what, like the past having mattered, just because of the Bland season or whatever. There's a couple more pelts on the wall. But if I had to, how would I say this? If I had to start an organization and take a room, I mean, I would take Washington's room 15 times before I took Dallas's, right? Well, so how do we factor that in?
So I think the thing that I would ask you is like who is playing corner opposite Deron Bland in Dallas, right? Like again, Revelle, I liked a lot coming out, but it's coming off that ACL. It sounds like he's getting better, but is basically entering his rookie season, right? Devin Moore is a rookie from Florida coming off of an ACL injury, right? Kobe Durant, I think, played nickel last year, if I'm not mistaken, but they just don't have a lot of depth. Like at least I can look at Mikey Samuels still and be like, he turns the football over, right? Trey Amos did when he was healthy as a starting player in the NFL look good. Amik Roberts has played in the league, and despite having kind of a downgraded year, I think does some good stuff from an instincts triggering tackling standpoint, where it's like, it might not be the most exciting thing in terms of personnel, but I think you've got dudes who played. And that's the thing that I come back to. It's like, at least I can be like to your point, Grant, like it's like, yeah, if you're starting a room, it's Washington, you know, 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. Yeah. But I also think like there's just better, at least as of right now, we'll see what the health is of Revelle. That's a big part here. We'll see what the health of Bland is. That's a big part here. If I was going to enter the season, they have two guys that are one guy for sure, one guy that's a maybe. And it's like, well, at least we've got kind of know what we have here in Washington, which I think is valuable.
It definitely is. I think Durant's the answer to your question, by the way. He's going to start outside. He's started the last 2 years, obviously.
I got you.
And then the one guy we have not mentioned who needs to be mentioned is Caleb Downs is probably going to play the nickel for them, I would think.
Like, oh, that's so great. That's a great point. That's a great point.
You know what
point,
I mean? Coach. Like, yeah. We're listing him as a safety. We have not talked about him because he's next. But I think in like 11 personnel, when you're just running around, like, so he factors into that thing too and maybe puts them over the top narrowly, helps them with the upside debate too when we talk about Washington.
And I think that makes you feel a lot just having gone through it, because I think Kobe Durant can play, right? Because I think he was their nickel last year, right? But he can play a little on the perimeter. Deron Bland can play. And then all of a sudden you add that nickel piece in there. And then that feels like, oh, okay, like we're in a decent spot with in terms of those three. So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that does kind of make me feel a little bit better about Dallas. And again, I think Washington's got a lot of upside. I think they're going to be elevated by scheme. If we had our crystal ball, we said, yeah, the scheme's going to elevate this group, I'd say, yeah, put them at three. But I think that's still yet to be determined.
I will say that even though this has been like corner has been the room that I've worried about the most all year, for a lot of people that's been wide receiver all offseason. I've just kind of yelled about corner, you know, shaking my fist at the sea. When you do this exercise, it does not feel like they are as in as bad a spot as maybe I thought. Like, again, when you comp them to, everyone's always chasing ghosts. Like, everybody wants Champ Bailey on one side and Daryl Green on the other and Charles Woodson as depth, you know, or whatever. Like, when you're like, here's who the Eagles have, here's who the Giants have. The Eagles, that's different. I mean, they just like they got at every position. It seems like they've built this thing up. Howie Roseman's on a heater, but for the Giants, for the Cowboys, I don't think the gap for the Cowboys, there is no gap probably. And for the Giants, it's not that big.
Yeah, it's definitely negligible. I think, and I think that's the thing is like when you get so locked, we've talked about this before, when you get so locked in on one team, like when I'm getting ready, watching other teams, when I'm watching Washington, like you realize that the difference between, obviously the difference between a good quarter and a bad quarter is huge. But the difference between two kind of mid-quarters, like the guy that's 15th at the position and the guy that's 20th at the position, is basically zero. And the thing that changes that is the scheme, right? And so I think if you're Dallas, you're having the same conversations Washington's having, where it's like, we brought in a new DC, he's going to elevate this group, and they're going to get better. And because on paper, you're like, man, like that's not great. And I think that's what every team in the league does, unless you have, you know, Patrick Surtain. Like, you're always kind of hunting for that other piece. It's the same thing with offensive linemen. Like, scheme should elevate the offensive line unless you have Trent Williams or Laramie Tunsil, right? Like, that's kind of how this goes. So I think this exercise is good. I think the fans should feel better. I feel better about this group in terms of how good it is actually on paper compared to other groups in the league. So I totally agree with you.
All right, last group on defense here for Take Command is safety. Caleb Downs leads the Cowboys with Jalen Thompson. Malik Hooker is still there. The Eagles have this is actually one area where, I mean, they have good players, don't get me wrong, like when you dive into the numbers, but they don't have the star power that at every other position it seems like they have. They have Makuba, Marcus Epps, Michael Carter II. They lost a couple of players. The Commanders, Nick Cross, I've said a few times on this show, I think it's one of the best kept secrets of the offseason I'm fired up about. Obviously, Washington still has Quan Martin, Will Harris, Jeremy Reeves, Tyler Owens, and the speed and hit ability of Percy Butler. The Giants have Tyler Newbin. They've got Javon Holland, Ardarius Washington. So take it where you want to.
Yeah, this one was tough for me because I actually like Tyler Newbin and Javon Holland a lot, right? Javon Holland, I think, was struggling a little bit his last year in Miami, but I thought kind of leveled out in a good way when he was in his first year with New York. And they do have two guys, right, that have played football at the NFL and then, you know, that were relatively productive in terms of tackles and ball production. I don't know how many picks Newbin had. I just remember his college numbers where he had like 12 interceptions his last year in school or whatever it was. I look at Dallas. I say to myself, I love Caleb Downs, one of my favorite players in the draft, but hasn't done it in the league. Jalen Thompson, Malik Hooker, I think are really good players, kind of these, you know, box hybrid players. How do they play in that kind of Vic Fangio defense that they're bringing in there is a big question for me. And then I'm glad you brought up the Eagles because I like Makuba, but he was nicked up last year. Epps has been a fine pro. But like you said, like there is conversation about them potentially moving Cooper DeJean to safety because they are not confident in this group. And it feels that way looking at the paper. It's like, yeah, these guys are good. They're fine. But I think you need something else there. And so they have that person on the roster. But does that hurt you when you're a nickel personnel not having Cooper DeJean on the field? So that's kind of my thought. And then this is what I want to say before we kind of move on is maybe the player that is most exciting at any level of this thing outside of Caleb Downs is Nick Cross, and he's here in Washington. And the thing that makes him so exciting is that he's done it before. And the other thing I love about Washington's room is they just got kind of like players that I like. I admire how they play. Like, I love the physicality of Quan Martin. I love the experience of Harris, right? Reeves, this special teams maven who plays with great physicality in that like Buffalo nickel role. And then Percy Butler. I just like the way that they are wired and built. So, yes, I love Nick Cross. That's like the blue chip or the blue red chip guy there. But I also like the depth here in terms of just how they approach football, which is something I can't say necessarily about the other guys in these other rooms.
If you go the Giants one because of Newman and Holland, I think that's fine. I wonder, I'm such a Caleb Downs fan. We talked about him, I feel like, for 13 hours combined before the draft. I wonder if the Cowboys should be two because he's there, but I think Washington's in the conversation at two because of their depth.
I think so, too.
I know, like, we like a lot of the guys in their roles, essentially, but I do think they've built it well, and this is primarily this regime, but it's actually over a couple of regimes at this point. But in terms of a lot of guys that fit together, that do some of the, you know, different things to complement each other, like Cross, Martin, Harris, Reeves, Owens, Butler, I don't even know if all six make the team, but they're going to cut a player that gets signed 2 days later if they cut one of those guys. So, and I know somebody listening is kind of rolling their eyes on Quan Martin because he got benched twice last year. All right, so let's say you don't see him as the starter that maybe Logan does or whatever. So he's a backup depth piece. And by the way, this is the guy that played his butt off in the playoffs and had a pick six against the Lions. Like, we've seen him play high-level football.
So this is what I'll say, too. It's like, I don't think he's going to start. But I think Nick Cross and Will Harris starting together is a really good group. And my respect for Will Harris has gone up tremendously because of how he communicates in the second level of that defense. Like, everyone talks about who's going to wear the green dot. Like, watching him in training camp, watching him, you know, I'm on the sideline, watching him in the preseason game when he was healthy, watching him against the Giants, like, it's a different group out there. The young guys play better with him in there because he's making the calls, he's making the checks. So I think he's an elevator. And so during OTAs and minicamp, when he's out there and Quan's kind of that third safety potentially, like, Quan knows what he's doing because Will Harris is on the field. So I do think he's a force multi. He's not maybe physically the player he was a couple of years ago, but the mental stuff that he brings is extremely important. Then you couple that with Nick Cross, you're like, man, this dude can get after it. So in terms of the two starters, like, I think you feel very, very good about where Washington's at. And then, like you said, if you can find roles for these kind of like physical athletes, I think you're doing all right. And so that's where I'd kind of say, like, two doesn't seem crazy to me, because as much as I like Malik Hooker, as much as I like Jalen Thompson, like, I think you're hoping Caleb Downs is a starter, and he's a rookie, and as much as we love him, he hasn't really shown it yet. So that's where I'd kind of be like, maybe you could make the argument there to put Washington above Dallas.
Take command, looking at the defensive position groups. Hope everybody has a wonderful long weekend, if you're getting a long weekend, and an excellent 4th of July. Going to be very, very cool to, I'm sure, celebrate with friends and family around the grill. 250 years of America, which ain't nothing. So pretty, pretty cool. Enjoy yourselves. Logan, you got anything planned for the 4th?
No, just hanging out with family. I'm sure you're doing the same thing, right? This is always a fun time of year, right? Get the family together, barbecue a little bit, get super sweaty because it's going to be hot, and then have a couple drinks, and that's it. You know what I mean? So,
now, when you say drinks, do you mean water?
Yeah, water, maybe some milk, you know, maybe some unsweetened iced tea, stuff like that. You know, just really let my hair down, let that thing go.
That is a different have a couple drinks than some people would have expected. But maybe Logan's going to have some milk on the 4th, guys. It's going to be fun. Milk was jacked. A bad choice. I could just see you out around the grill, just like the milk is like disgustingly dripping down your beard. And you're just like, oh, milk, why milk? For you know our funny? Producer, Evan.
Okay. I'm sorry. I made that reference to someone the other day about the Anchorman. It was a high school football kid. He was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Have you not seen Anchorman?" And he goes, "No. What is that?" This.
I really do. I worry about this. Like, we're getting old, and I'm sure people that were 35 or whatever when I was in high school felt this way about me, but I don't think they were right, and I think we're right. If that makes sense, young people today do not care about the great stuff that came before them. Now, someone may have said that in the past. They were wrong then. But now,
we're right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we're right.
Yeah, dude, I get it. I think we're on the same page there. But like, it's so disappointing. I'm like, you've never seen, like, you've never come up in anything old school? They're like, no, what is that? What are these movies? What are these movies? Are these books? What are we talking about? Are they? Is this an Instagram reel? I'm just like, damn. Like, it's funny. It's good stuff. You should check it out.
Yeah, that's humbling. All right, producer Evan, great job as always. For Logan, I'm Grant, saying so long. Enjoy the 4th. We are back to kick off next week, talking about the coaching and special teams units as we continue to rank the NFC East. Thanks for listening.